John chapter 16. I got all kinds of things running through my head. Good to be saved this morning. Good to be in church. Nothing like your own church. I kept clicking my heels saying, I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to go home. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. My son-in-law Mike's going to preach tonight. If y'all be back tonight and get a blessing there. Amen. Brother Mark told me to tell everybody hi. I don't get to preach with Brother Mark much. I think I've preached with him once or twice, and we preached together down there. That was good, a lot of fun. And plus, seeing people get some help. Brother Mark is he's a preacher. Lord bless him. And what a blessing that is to be with him. And Brother Glenn and the folks there, Bible Believers Baptist Church. Y'all be praying, because some of them, I think, want to try to come up for our youth rally. So just pray for them. All right, let's get in John chapter. We've got time running quick. John chapter 16, it says, these things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. Jesus Christ, what he spoke to them and through the book of John, John chapter 15, John chapter 14. We always read John chapter 14 when I do funerals. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, I let not your heart be troubled, but you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus said, the Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. People get offended in the Lord. I mean, folks, the offense of the gospel, the Bible talks about, and you can be offended. People get offended in church. People get offended at home. They get offended at the job. They get offended, but you should never, ever, ever, ever get offended over Jesus Christ. The Lord will never, never hurt you. The Bible talks about it. He said, he that is ashamed of me and my words, him I'll be ashamed of. But the Lord, man, I'm talking about being ashamed, but the Lord said, I'll never offend you in that sense. I mean, the word of God will prick your heart, and the Lord will try to get things out of your life. But he said, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Be offended what he spoke, what he said. When you're reading the word of God, it cuts you. It's a sword. It cuts two ways. And we should never be offended at the Lord. Why? Because he's got always got our best interests at heart. He wants you to be more than what we sometimes our goals are. He wants us to be more serving him, loving him. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 13. Look at this, Matthew 13, talking about offense. The Bible talks about woe unto him that that was going to betray him and bring offense against Jesus Christ. But he says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Look in Matthew 13, verse 57. Matthew 13, 57. He says, back up to verse 53. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James, Joseph, and Simon, and Judas? See, Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. What the Catholic Church teaches, that Jesus or Mary was a perpetual virgin. After Jesus Christ, she never had no more children. That's a lie. Right here, you're reading that Jesus had brothers and sisters. They're half-brothers and sisters, but he still had brothers and sisters. And the Catholic Church is teaching another lie. And he says his sisters, verse 56, notice, his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. They were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works. Notice that. But works there because of their what? Under what? Unbelief. Y'all follow along with me. I hope you are. Now, how many of y'all sitting here this morning would say, I am and I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, I hope when you lift your hands, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's going to be things in this world and things from the Word of God and the things in this life that's going to offend you. is going to affect you. I mean, it's going to get a hold of you. And man, you got to make up your mind, I'm never going to be offended over him and his words. When a preacher gets up and preaches on hell, he starts preaching on judgment and those things. You said, well, that's not what I like to hear all the time. No, you don't want to hear about judgment all the time. You don't want to hear about sin all the time. But I'm going to tell you something, you've got to deal with it on a daily basis. And I'm going to tell you something, that offends God when you don't deal with it. When you don't deal with sin in your own life and you deal with, and you're getting around sin, you get comfortable with sin, that offends God. And that should not be in a Christian's life. You should never get comfortable with sin. I realize we're born into sin. I mean, man, we're prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love. But that, you should never, ever get comfortable in your state of sin. You should never get comfortable. There's a lot of Christians here this morning or not here this morning because of something in their life. Or they got offended at church. And I tell men, they get offended by somebody saying something. Or they get offended over a message. We had a time here for a while that people were getting up, walking out during the service. And we said, man, we're going to make up a t-shirt. And we made up a t-shirt. And Brother Bob would hand it out every once in a while. It says, I was offended at Faith Baptist Church. And I tell you what, people are going to get offended when you preach the Word of God. When you stand and you live a Christian life, they're going to be offended over that. It's going to bother them to see a light. Why? When you turn the light on to sleeping people or to bugs, they always run to the corner. Or somebody says, turn the light off. I don't want no light. And what you ought to be as a Christian, as a light for Jesus Christ, and you're going to offend people. It's going to offend people. And boy, you make up your mind, I don't go out trying to offend people right off just to be offensive. I'm going to tell you something, the Word of God is going to be doing the job. You ain't got to worry about being offensive. The Word of God will do it. Take your Bible, look in Matthew 26. Look at Matthew 26. Look at here. Matthew 26. Some people, I was going to Bible school with a bunch of guys, and they went out and they wanted to be offensive. They went out just to offend people. That was stupid. You just don't go out just to offend people. You don't go out looking for an opportunity that you can say something smart to somebody or cut somebody down or try to prick somebody. That's not what the Lord's pleased with. When you just abide in his word and him and his words abides in you, you just stand for God. That's going to be offensive enough. That'll take care of the job. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 26 and look at verse 33. Matthew 26 verse 33. And he says, it's Jesus Christ talking about. And look at verse 30. And when they had sung a song, a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Thank God we got to go there. And it says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. Let me ask you something. Does serving Jesus Christ offend you? I mean, his words, does it bother you? I've seen people read the Bible and then slam it shut. They didn't want it because why? Something stuck out at them. This Bible is a two-edged sword. It'll cut you. When you read it, it'll cut you. There's many, many, many times, many, many, I can't even name them all. There's times where I read the Word of God and I've had to bow my head and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, God. God will speak to your heart through this Word. He'll speak to you. And I'll tell you what, if you're not in his word, man, you're not being a good disciple of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. It says, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered, said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You got to watch out by saying never, I'll never, I'll never, I'll never. You better look out for that, man. You better never say, I'll never be offended in him. Peter thought in his own mind, he made up his mind, said, I'll never be offended. All men forsake you, God. All men be offended in you. He said, I'm not going to be offended. Guess what? He was the first one. He was the first one. The one that usually stands up and proclaims everybody, I'll never be. I always serve God. Look out. He's going down, man. He's going down. You know, don't use your mouth as a tool of stupidness or foolishness. Man, don't be that way. But offense him. Offense is going to come. The Bible talks about being offended. I mean, are you offended from the Word of God? People get, they'll leave the service the same way they came in. I mean, you ought to come into church on Sunday morning, be saying, God, give me something. Give me something. We always start a revival. Say, man, pray God give you something. We ought to come to church that way. God, give me something. If there's something that offending you, if there's something in my life that offends you, help me to get it right so I don't offend you, God. Most Christians don't do that. They don't pray that. Why? They'll come in here and they'll sit here through a message and get offended and say, I hate that church. I don't like that preacher. I don't like this. I don't like that. And you'll sit out and you'll just go outside and live the same way you always have, and you'll never be a light for Jesus Christ. God have mercy on you. Shame on you. One day you're going to stand before the Lord. He's going to look at you and look in your eyes and say, what's the matter? Didn't you love me? You say, oh, Lord, I love you. He said, well, let me show you what you say you love me, but your words and your actions are different than what you say. My Lord, offense, offense. These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Jesus said, I've warned you. I've gave fair enough warning so you don't get offended for standing for me, loving me. He says, look at verse 2. And they were put, they'll put you out of the synagogue, talking to the Jews, the disciples. Yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. There are going to be people down, you know, during the tribulation period, going to be hunting down Christians or people that's in the tribulation that won't receive the mark. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Look back in your Bible. Notice what he said. They don't know the Father. They don't know the Father. They don't know the Father. Look in John chapter 14. Look in John chapter 14. Look at verse 2. He said, in my Father's house. Notice, he says, my Father. Look down at verse 7. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father. Notice he said, my Father. And then he says down in verse 9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And then look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you. Look down at verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. You know what? We're connected to him and we're connected to the Father. Amen. Thank God. I can say, Father, help me, Lord. You know the Bible says that we can call on God. And we can call on God and man as Father. And man, look what the Bible says. Look down at verse John chapter 14, 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and he hath given you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever. Look down at verse 20. All that day ye shall know that I am in the Father. Father. Father, he that keepeth my commandments, keepeth them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my what? You love God. You love the Son. You'll be loved of the Father. Look what else it says. Look on down. He said, and we'll love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear in my is not mine, but the Father, the Father's which sent me. He says, Father. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Man, what a blessing. My Father, my Father. We can go to the Father in the name, through the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Man, we got all three in one. What a blessing. And look on down, verse 27. Peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth you, I give unto you. And let not your heart be troubled, neither be let it be afraid. Ye have heard now that I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, ye will rejoice because ye said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Look at verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us hence. Go hence. Look at chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. See, when you get offended in Jesus Christ, you're also getting offended against the Father and against the Holy Ghost. All three in one. Man, he said, offense is going to come. He said, don't be offended. Let me ask you something. Were you offended? That's why you're not serving God? That's why you're not doing what you're supposed to do? I'm going to tell you something, man. Jesus Christ said, I love you. I go to the Father. I make an intercession for you. You're in the Father. I'm in the Father. Man, what a blessing. Look on down. Look what else he says in chapter 15. He said, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You know, the Bible says, if you want to glorify the Father and you want to be in the Son, he said, you have much fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit do you have in your life? He says, and so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, look at verse 9, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I'm going to tell you something, man. Marriage, when you get married, my wife and I have been married 43 years. You know what happens after the first year of marriage? You got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to work at loving each other. Because if she's going to say something, she's going to. And then as you get older, they start changing. They look different. They don't look the same. Man, you know what? God never changes. He still looks the same. Amen. His heart's always the same towards you. You know what you got to do? You got to work at your love for the Father and the Son. You got to work at it. Every second of the day. Look on back to chapter 16. I could go through all the verses on the Father. He says this. He said, chapter 16, verse 3, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. That people are going to do stuff to you because of the Father. I mean, you know, the Bible, Jesus told him in Acts, he said, the Bible says that Jesus said, you're going to be offended and these things are going to happen. The world's going to hate you and so on. And you know what? They went away rejoicing because they suffered for the name of God. They went away rejoicing because they were able to suffer for his name. Let me admit, people go through one little thing. We're living in the 21st century. We got the 21st century Christian. We think we know it all. We think we got it all. We think we got everything, all our I's dotted, all our T's crossed. But man, I tell you what, we're in sad shape when it comes to Christianity. We're probably the worst bunch there ever was. We're probably, in the 21st century, we're probably the worst bunch there ever was when it comes to Christianity. My God, man. And people get offended over some little stupid thing. I mean, you get offended in church, you get offended at home, you get offended by your wife, you get offended by your husband, you get offended by the preacher, you get offended by the deacons, you get offended by the trustees, you get offended by somebody working in the stinking Sunday school room. And I shouldn't say stinking. I mean, our Sunday school rooms don't stink. But I'll tell you what, in the nursery, stinking nursery, because at times it stinks. But I'll tell you what, you get offended over something, man. What, man, you make up your mind, I'm not going to be offended in the Lord. I'm not going to be offended by my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm just going to live for God. I'm just going to do what's right. People come to church looking for somebody to offend them. My God, look on down. Look what it says. Because I said unto these things unto you, sorrow have filled your heart. In the verse 7, I wanted to get to here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Thank God for the truth. You ever thank God for the truth? I was somewhere with somebody, and a guy, and I've done this many times. I've kissed my Bible. Your Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. I mean, I know this is not the Son of God. I know this is the words of God. But God puts his word above his own name. But the last time you just kissed it, kissed the word of God. Kissed it. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And don't people always say, tell me the truth, man. Don't hold back. Give it to me straight. Give it to me straight. I preach funerals to big old folks, and they say, give it to me straight. I can handle the truth. No, you can't at times. I've seen men get up and walk out cussing at me while I'm preaching a funeral. I've seen people get upset over the truth. Boy, I tell you what, people, even Christians get upset over the truth, the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, man, Christians should never be offended in the Lord. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter. And thank God, not only did the Lord give you the truth, but he gives you a Comforter. He's inside, abiding with you forever. I said, can you imagine some Christians when you get to heaven? I kind of got a vivid imagination, kind of crazy imagination. I can see the Holy Ghost been living in you for all the years since you've been saved. I've been saved for 45 years. Going on 46 years. Can you imagine that Holy Ghost of God has been inside me sealed to the day of redemption? Can you imagine we get to heaven and the Holy Ghost, he changes our vile bodies and fashion like on his glorious body and the rapture takes place and we go out of here? Can you imagine getting to heaven and you're walking down the streets of gold and you're rejoicing that you're there and the Holy Ghost walks by and says, hey, I had to live in you. And go, can you imagine the Holy Ghost slapping you upside your head? I had to live in you all them years. You never, ever really loved God. And I prayed for you. And I prayed for you. And I prayed for you. I interceded for you. So how do you know that? Bible. The Bible tells you in Romans chapter 8 that he makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what it is? Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. God, help this poor, stupid idiot. God, help this poor, stupid idiot. He's a mess, God. He's a mess. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, God. How would you like to have to live in somebody's body? But being holy. Never sin. How would you like that? But nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You ever thank the Lord for the Comforter? I mean, man, the Holy Ghost of God. You know, there's churches all over the world today sitting here having church service, and they believe in the middle of the service they can lose their salvation. They believe that it's a minority of people that believe in eternal security. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, oh, I've had many people tell me one day, he said, you don't believe in that damnable heresy of eternal security. I said, well, I believe you're eternally secure. One big old boy, he was about this big, he said, you don't believe in that damnable heresy of eternal security? I said, I sure do. He said, I can't believe you believe that. I said, I believe because the Word of God teaches it. You're sitting here this morning, you can't lose your salvation. You're saved, sealed to the day of redemption. You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. I mean, man, the Bible tells us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's. You know, most people just live, they live as a Christian life on a Sunday morning when they go to church. And that's it. And after the rest of the week, you can never tell that they were saved. You can never tell they were living for God. You know, I was just in Texas. Every time I go to Texas, this woman has a baby. Every time I go down there, she's getting ready to have a baby, or she's getting ready to go to the labor. And this girl, she has a baby, and man, if this church was on Sunday, that girl is in church on Sunday. She could have the baby at 4 o'clock Sunday morning. She'd be in church on Sunday morning with the baby. I call her he woman, man. Her name's Michelle. I said, man, she's a he woman. She's just had number what? What number was that? 5. She just had number 5. She said, I just don't want to miss revival. You know how most people are looking for, they wake up on Sunday morning and they look in the mirror and say, oh man, I'm feeling kind of sick. Oh man, something's coming on. Something's coming on. I mean, you know, I got to call the preacher. Matter of fact, I don't even call him. I'm just going to stay in bed. Man, the comforter, when he comes, guides you in the truth. Man, thank God for the comforter. Look what he says. When he has come, he will reprove the world of what? Y'all look at it? Come on now, look at it. Look what the verse says. It says, when he comes, y'all not with it this morning. He says in verse 8, when he has come, he will reprove the world of what?
Sin.
What?
Sin.
Why are you talking about that for? That's a dirty word. S-I-N? I used to drink coffee at 7-Eleven. And I'd go into 7-Eleven when I was about 30, I started worrying about losing my hair. You know, men worry about that. You might not believe that. Ain't that right, Brother Dave? Yeah. Men worry about losing their hair. And this guy, I'd go into 7-Eleven every morning, and I'd get a cup of coffee, and finally it hit me one morning, I seen all these bald-headed guys drinking coffee. I'm looking at these guys, and I went, oh, my. I backed away from that coffee. Tommy, how long you been drinking coffee?
A real
long time. Jay, how long you been drinking coffee?
Not quite as long.
Let me look around for other bald guys. Mike, you drink coffee? You don't? There's hope. Hallelujah. Yeah. I was in the 7-Eleven, man. I was looking at these guys, and I thought, oh, my God, it's in the coffee. I mean, every time I comb my hair coming out. I was, oh, Lord. And I stood there, and I waited for guys to come out. I said, hey, how long, bald-headed guys, how long y'all been drinking? They said, all my life. I went, oh, my. And all the guys come in. I said, how long you been drinking that coffee? And they said, oh, 15, 20 years. It's done me good. I said, well, you're going bald, man. That's... And I kept watching. And finally, I waited for a guy. I waited around. No kidding. I waited around for somebody that had hair. I waited around. And a guy walked in, had a full head of hair. I said, how long you been drinking this stuff? He said, 30 years. I said, hallelujah, I can drink it. Amen. And me and Uncle Billy used to go in there. The reason why I told you that story, me and Uncle Billy used to go in there. And Billy would be getting a cup of coffee. And Billy said, Billy was come up. He would come up all kinds of crazy things to witness. And I'd go along with him. And he dressed up one time as Santa Claus, got arrested, and a bunch of things happened. And but we were standing in 7-Eleven getting a cup of coffee, and Billy said he came in, he waited for me to get in there first. I'm getting my coffee, and a whole bunch of men, people standing around getting coffee. And Billy come in, and I said, hey man, hey Billy, how you doing? We're riding together, but we did that just in, you know, fun. He says, hey man, he said, you heard I was diagnosed with a terrible disease. And people start, you know, they're mixing the coffee now. He said, you know, I got a disease worse than AIDS. And then people started bagging away. They started going away from him. And I said, worse than AIDS? He said, yeah, man, I'm telling you what. And he'd get real loud. He'd be real loud. And some people start backing up, mixing their coffee away from the place. And he goes, I'll tell you, man, I got a disease worse than AIDS. He said, and the sad thing about it, he said, you got it too. And I went, what? You're kidding me. He goes, yeah, you got it too, man. You got it. I said, no, I don't. He said, well, you been around me? He said, you got it. Man, people started, like I said, backing up further. Start back. He said, you know what? Everybody in this room's got it now. And that man, he had everybody shook up. He said, what? I said, what is it? He said, S-I-N. I said, what's that? He said, S-I-N. Don't you know what? And you see people in the corner going, S-I-N. And then, you know, then they, he said, it's sin. Everybody's got it, and you're going to die from it. Amen. You know why you die? Because of S-I-N. Yes, that's why you die. Right. He says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of what? Sin. And I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you the more you repent of it, I think the longer you'll last. Yeah. Yeah. Now, God's got to set time for every man. I realize that. God's got a set time. There's an appointed time for every man. But I'm going to tell you something. You keep living in sin, you'll die sooner. You'll die sooner. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Ghost inside you is going to reprove you of sin, righteousness, and the whole world. As a child of God, you got the Holy Ghost of God abiding in you, living in you. And what he'll do, he'll reprove you when you're wrong. You have me all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about? First time you do something wrong. First time after I was saved, I said, I used God's name in vain. I went, God blank. And the Holy Ghost went, yeah. Don't say that. Yeah. Why? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Amen. The world, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter has come is to reprove the world of sin. Amen. Thank God. Thank God he's reproved us of sin. You know what? We sing that song, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, you know, talking about the blood. We sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. It can wash away our sin. That's the only thing that can wash away your sin. Yep. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost will convict you of it. If you're saved, the Bible tells you don't grieve him, don't quench him. If he deals with you about something of sin in your life, you know what a Christian's supposed to do? You're supposed to get it right. It's like taking a shower. How many of y'all take showers every morning? How many of y'all take showers at night? You wouldn't want to miss a shower. I get in the shower, and it's nice and warm. When it's cold, brother, I've tried that Lester Roloff shower. My God, I can't do it. You say, what's the Lester Roloff shower? It's put on solid cold and jump in there and take it. Ooh, I can't do it. I've tried it. And then I've hit hot, all the way hot, and about I turn like Carrie's face. I come out look like a lobster, man. I've tried that. But I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost will convict of sin, righteous judgment. And you get clean. Amen. Why would you want to go around smelling? Amen. Well, so you know what? You can almost see it on a person's life, in their life. When they mess with sin, don't get the thing right, especially a child of God. We expect the world. I mean, I get around the world. All they talk about is wickedness. All they talk about is sin. You know, hey, they'll say, hey, have you heard this one? And I always say to people, hey, is it clean? And then they'll say, yeah, yeah. And you know right then it ain't. You back away. I say, hey, man, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear your dirty joke. Why? It messes me up. Sin kills. I forget, I wrote down somewhere in my Bible how many times sin is mentioned in the Bible. Anybody know? Anybody know? Anybody got the idea? Sin is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. Quite a few. And I used to have it written down in my Bible how many times it was mentioned. But the Holy Ghost has come to convict of sin, reprove of sin. Why in the world would a Christian want to go out in this Christian life and daily not take a shower, get clean? That Bible tells you, in the hyper-dispensationalists, they're the guys that don't believe 1 John 1:9 applies to the church. It applies to anybody. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Amen. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why in the world would you want to go around and live in sin? You start stinking. My dad didn't believe in taking showers. My dad didn't believe in taking baths. Before he died, I was giving him his bath, and he would say, I'm sorry. And my dad wouldn't come down to see me graduate down in Bible school. I said, Dad, if you're going to go to Bible school, I said, Dad, my graduate, you're going to have to take a bath. He said, I don't want to waste no water. He come from the Depression. And he said, I don't want to waste no water. I said, Dad, it's my water. It's well water. I'm paying for it. Get a bath. My dad went in there just to try to satisfy me, ran the water, and he took his hand. I said, Dad, I'd stand at the door and listen just to make sure he was taking a bath. And I said, Dad, are you taking a bath? And he said, yeah, and he splashed the water around with his hand. He wouldn't get in it. Really, he wouldn't get in it. He came out, and I smelt him. I said, Dad, look, here's the inspection. I went, Dad, you still stink. He said, well, I took a bath. I said, you use soap? Soap. Why would I use soap? You know what cleanses our sins away? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Right,
why in the world would a Christian want to go out and continue in the sin? Live like in the sin?
That's right.
Why? 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 Why?
Amen.
He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you to go that I go away. If I go away, the Comforter will come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. And then it says of judgment. Man, you better be thinking about judgment. I think about the judgment seat of Christ. As a Christian, we don't have to think about the white throne judgment over here. We don't have to think about this. I mean, we're going to be there, but we got loved ones. We don't have to think about the white throne judgment, which is, where is it at? I can't even see it. It's right here, right after there. The white throne judgment. We got the judgment seat of Christ right here. Over here, judgment seat of Christ right there. We got the judgment seat of Christ to worry about. I never forget Dr. Rumman, we was in Bible school. He said, you know, if we can get past the judgment seat of Christ, he said, we'd be flying high. Just get past the judgment seat of Christ. So what's that? He said, that's going to determine whether I go to heaven or hell? No, that's you're already saved. You're already in heaven.
Yeah.
It's going to determine whether that you're going to have any rewards.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be a lot of Christians in heaven. Ain't going to have no rewards. I kind of believe this. I believe that, like, we see military parades and stuff. You see them all dressed up. You see the Marine Corps. You see the Army. They all got their dress on, and they're marching, and the guys got the medals on. I believe that the Lord's going to give us some kind of robe, and he's going to give us some kind of reward that's going to be everybody can see. You'll be able to see. Maybe it'll be a different type of clothing. Some Marines believe it's going to be like the Marine outfit, and that's going to be the best one, and they're going to be in walking down through heaven with that. But that ain't it. God's going to give us a brand new robe, but you're going to have you're going to have something to show that there's rewards that you served him. And it's going to be forever. See, this life here is only temporary. If I live to be 70 years old and the Lord takes me home, or even now, he takes me home, everything I've done since I've been saved, I got to give account for. Before I was saved, God forgave me of that. I still reap some of them things, but from some day I got saved when I was 18 years old till now, I got to give an account. And it's going to determine what kind of rewards I get. You say, well, I don't care as long as I get that little cabin in glory land. No, you're going to be caring. You get there, you're going to walk by some Christians that gave their lives, that went into the Colosseums in Rome and sat out and got in the middle of the Colosseums while they let the lions loose. They sang songs to Jesus Christ. He said, you're going to be offended. But he said, don't be offended over my words. Don't be offended over my words. The Holy Ghost will comfort you. So look what the Bible says, and we finish this. He says, of sin because they believe not on me. When a person's not living on God, living for the Lord, what you're saying is, God, I don't believe your word. When you decide, I'm not going to live for you, I'm going to live the way I want to live, and I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's good enough, then you're saying, I don't believe you. I don't believe you're coming back. I don't believe there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. I don't believe there's a hell. You know, the Pope just came out and said there is no hell. He said that a long time ago, one of the Popes years before. Now the Pope is just now kissing the Quran saying we're all the same. We know that ain't true. He says of sin because they believe not on me. Let me ask you something. You know what happens to a child of God when you're in the sin? You don't believe his word. You don't believe he's coming. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. He said, in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man coming. You know what? He's coming back.
Amen.
Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be returning for you and me. Oh, I've been watching and I've been waiting. Just any day now, his face I'll see. He's coming.
Amen.
Everything all right between you and him?
That's good.
I mean, everything, your account up to date, everything straight? So why? Well, some people say, well, I'm going to sin anyway. I might as well go ahead all the way. That's stupid. That's stupid. He said, of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and see me. You'll see me no more. Of righteousness. You know what the Bible says in John chapter 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Can you imagine after 1,000 years in heaven, man, you got a mansion. Now, I know some preachers that preach this. They said, you know, Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. I know some preachers that preach that you, if you don't serve him, you ain't going to have no mansion. I don't know about that. I believe the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house of many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I mean, he's going to give us a brand new body, a brand new home, a brand new city. I mean, brand new everything. No sin. No unrighteousness. What a blessing. Can you imagine? He said, this is your testing time here. This is your time. This is your time to shine. This is what you're supposed to be doing. This is your time to shine for him. Are you shining? Or you let sin put your candle out? Look what the Bible says. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He said, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You know what? When you're not living for God, you make a choice. Like you all have heard Brother Glenn Stocker up here. He said, God's for you. The devil's against you. You choose. You choose now what you're going to do. One day the judgment's going to come. One day judgment's going to come. God's for you. The devil's against you. Who are you going to serve? I served the devil for years. I was faithful serving him. And there's times in my life as a Christian life I've done wrong. I've allowed the devil to allow me to get back into a mess in my own heart, my own life. But I tell you what, I've asked God to forgive me, cleanse me. Help me, Lord, not to serve the devil. Help me not to glorify the devil, exalt the devil in my life. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I mean, the Lord's going to tell us a lot of things, but there's going to be things that you don't understand right now. I've had people tell me, when I stand before God, I've had Christians tell me, I'm going to ask God, why this? You ain't going to do that. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, had come, he will guide you into all truth. Yet, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost inside you, his job is to glorify Jesus Christ. And your job is to glorify Jesus Christ. Are you doing it? He's given you a comforter. He's given you all the equipment. Are you doing it? Are you glorifying the Savior? He said, don't be offended in my word. Say, I'm not. But how come you're not living for him? How come you're not doing what you're supposed to do? Something happened. We know what you need to do. He said, well, I don't understand this. I just don't know why. Get alone with him. Say, Lord, show me. You don't think he will? I know he will. He'll show you what you need. He'll help you. The Holy Ghost of God inside you is making intercession for you. Wouldn't you like to hear his prayer? Wouldn't you like to hear the Holy Ghost as he's praying for you, what he's praying for? It would shock us to death. We go, oh, God, we need to get that right. I need to get that out of my life. I need to do this. God, help me. Ask God to reveal to you through his word. You know what the problem is? Most of the time we know what it is. We already know. Why? He's in there. We know what it is that we need to get right. We just stubborn. God resists the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. The Bible says the devil is the king over all the children of pride. Do you want to be connected with that? Get it right. Preachers that preach don't preach on sin anymore. You know what they're doing? They're hurting their congregation. They're hurting their people. They don't preach on judgment anymore. They're hurting their congregation. They're hurting the Christianity of righteousness. Jesus said, be ye holy as I am holy. Are you trying? I mean, you got to try. You got to try. How do you know you can't do it? You got to try.
Amen.
He said he'll help you. He'll comfort you. In my Father's house, many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Thank God for the truth.
Amen.
Father, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, God, for our missionary being here this morning.